next time. Okay, welcome you to a very short class then, this morning, due to the confession of faith and the baptism. We'll just read a few verses from Matthew 13, and then I'll continue a few minutes with my theme, teaching children to listen. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's pray. Great God, we ask that thou wouldst bless our short time this morning. Please do bless thy word, which we've just heard, and the confession of faith and baptism. And do grant us household salvation from home to home, we pray. And teach us that much depends also upon children who hear the word well. For those who hear it well are prone to be those in whom thou dost work that wonderful work. And so help us to do our duty, looking to thee for fruit in due time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've looked at the theme of listening. In general, we've seen how few people really listen to each other. Then we talked about listening in church. That's where we're at. We've talked last time about how to prepare for church and prepare for listening in church. And today, I want to just talk about the next section, listening to the sermon. And then next time, we'll talk about putting listening into practice. And then one more time, we'll talk about teaching children to listen to parents in the home. When it comes to listening to the sermon, there are really four things I want to say. The first is, listen with understanding. Listen with understanding. You heard me emphasize that as I read it. In this famous parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower, he tells us there are really four classes of hearers or of listeners. The first hearer is one in which the word falls upon a path that is hard, and so it doesn't penetrate. And Jesus says it's like a hard heart, a stony heart. And so it's important that we approach our children in such a way that we pray for grace and wisdom all the time to be an instrument for good in their lives, to promote a soft heart, a pliant heart. The way to promote hard-heartedness in our children is simply to do nothing, on the one hand, because by nature they're not of the Lord, but of Satan. And if you do nothing and you say nothing about religion in the home, their hardness will grow and grow and grow like a hard, stubborn tree that can't be bent. On the other hand, and here's the balance we need to maintain, we can create hard hearts by always talking about religion and always using it to promote a guilt trip and just always judging them, always telling them how wicked they are, and they develop a shell a hardness against that kind of approach. What we need to aim for is that we ourselves have soft and tender hearts, and that we talk to our children about the ways of God with soft and tender hearts. How good it is when children see a little tear trickle from our eye now and then of tenderness about the things of God. And they hear soft words, and they can feel by the tone of voice and the way we read the Bible and the way we pray that these are wonderful and special things. And so even if our children would be unconverted, they could still have impressions, many impressions, under our softness, our tenderness, so that the seed would not just fall on a hard path and the birds come along and pluck it away. The second kind of hearer is compared to seed that falls in rocky places. Rocky places. Plants begin to spring up, but it soon withers and dies because it lacks moisture and it lacks the depth of soil to grow a good root system. So this kind of hearer seems to listen well. He seems to have an animated face as he listens to the preacher. And he's going to go out and do it? And he's excited about it? He seems very interested. But he doesn't want to deny himself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. He wants nothing to do with a radical discipleship. He wants the friendship of the world. So this is the kind of hearer who on Sunday really gets quite a bit out of the sermons. He's a good listener, and from the pulpit you're quite pleased when you pick up the vibes that he's listening. But on Monday he goes right back in the world and just lives the same kind of life he always lived. Now, when it comes to our children, you see, how critical it is that we on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday show the Christian demeanor and continue to live out the sermons we heard on Sunday and continue as much as possible in family worship to talk about them. So our children feel a connect between Sunday Christianity and Monday through Saturday Christianity. If they don't feel that connect, they will tend to be this kind of hearer. And they need to understand, you can't have both. You can't be a real Christian on Sunday and not a real Christian on Monday and be a real Christian. You can't have God and mammon. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. So we need to lovingly teach them that, but even more than teaching them that, we need to show them that. And that's the challenge. To show them in the Wednesday evening family worship by our whole demeanor how much we love the Lord, and we're not just excited to get through family worship so we can go do our own thing. We need to show them a root system in our own lives that goes deep, so that when affliction comes in our life, we don't complain and mumble and murmur and groan like so many people do, Christians and non-Christians, and act like we're not Christians. That's a problem. And the children grow up, maybe not consciously thinking it, but subconsciously feeling this way. Well, my dad is pretty religious. My mom is pretty religious on paper or in the pulpit or in the pew. But when it comes to daily living, it doesn't really make a lot of difference. When I do something wrong, they still fly off the handle. But if they see that affliction enters your life and you respond to it maturely, and in the next family prayer you're praying that it will be sanctified to your own heart, and you don't panic, but you show a Christian calmness and demeanor, you see, they see the roots going down. And then they, hopefully, won't be a temporary believer. Because that's really what this is, temporary faith. No root system. Sun comes out. Persecution comes. Affliction comes. The plant withers and dies because it's got nowhere to go with the roots. The third kind of hearer is the thorn-infected ground. Choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, it brings forth no fruit. Now, this is a little bit like the last kind of one way. There's a kind of a dichotomy here, but it's stronger. The dichotomy is already in church. The point here is not that I'm an avid listener in church and then just don't go out and fail to live it. The point is I'm listening with two ears in church. One ear I'm listening to the Lord and the other ear I'm listening to my business. I'm building barns while I'm listening to the sermon. I'm at my office doing the next project while I'm listening to the sermon. So I leave church. I haven't really drunk the sermon in to the full because I'm doing two things. I'm in two different worlds at the same time. And so I'm thinking and wandering in my mind, and the word is choked by all these thorns. Now what we have to do ourselves, of course, then, is we've got to sit back and say, is that me? And if that's me, what can I do to prevent this? The living Almighty God is speaking to me in the worship service. How do I dare not listen to Him with two ears, but with only one? And then we need to take steps, concrete steps maybe, to do whatever it takes. If taking notes helps you to concentrate on the message, take notes. Whatever you do, though, make sure you listen. Make sure you understand. And as soon as your mind begins to wander, say, God forbid, God is speaking to me and I'm not listening. Forgive me, Lord. And get right back in there and listen. Don't allow yourself to excuse yourself to get into that mode of not listening. And of course, you train your child the same way. You train your children. I think most children today, they're in school, they're used to taking notes. I think most children get more out of a sermon when they take notes. And I think it's good to try to train them to do that. Certain children are different, perhaps. But one thing you need to do for sure is after every single sermon, ask your children about the sermon. That cultivates in them the expectation, my mom and my dad expected me to listen this morning. And please, this is a preacher's nightmare. Please don't laugh or think it's cute when they don't listen to the whole sermon. It's painful. Don't lightly excuse it. Don't treat it as trivia. Aim higher. Set the bar higher. Ask your children questions. Give them responses. Challenge your own listening skills by taking, if you've got an 8-year-old, by taking the sermon and bringing it all to an 8-year-old level. Try to explain the whole sermon back to them in 5 or 6 minutes. That's a good challenge for you. But whatever you do, make sure your children know and make sure you know this is the most important 50 to 60 minutes of your life every single week when you hear the Word of God. Or 50 or 60 minutes twice, 100 or 120 minutes. All right, the fourth kind of hearer is, of course, the hearer that hears in good soil. The seed is then put in good soil, and Jesus explains the good soil as someone who understands. And the understanding goes to the heart, and not just the mind. The understanding sinks down, develops a root system. The truth goes into the depths of the soul. It gets integrated, in other words, into my personal life, my family life, my business, my conduct day by day. The person who really listens and brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold is the person who has the implications of what he hears on Sunday worked out in him with the assistance of the Holy Spirit Monday through Saturday. This is the person who has his priorities right. This is the person who walks with integrity during the week, who approaches every day with an inward excitement. I get to live to the glory of God today. Help me to do it, Lord. Help me to do it faithfully. Help me to do it scripturally. And this is the person whose life is contagious with his children. Because his children feel, my mom and my dad, they just want to live for the Lord. And sometimes maybe it's a little irritating because they want to walk with so much integrity that I'd rather skirt around this rule and skirt around that law and do the way I want to do it. It's not so bad, I think. But they just want to live every... They want to think every thought to God's glory. They want to speak every word to God's glory. Wow, I really respect them. There's something real about my mom and my dad. They really listen. And I can see it on Monday and Tuesday. They're word-centered people. That's wonderful. Generally, there's many exceptions, but generally, the children that show most evidence of the fear of God are precisely from those families where both parents show a tender walk with God as they seek to live out the sermons they hear on Sunday. So the point of this all is this: listen with understanding. Pray to do so. Study the word that you hear. Practice the word that you hear. Spread the word that you hear. Listen to Ezra in Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments about it. You see, there you have it. He studied it. He practiced it. He spread it. Listen with understanding. Number two, listen attentively. Listen attentively. We read of Jesus preaching that the people were attentive to him. Luke 19:48 says, they hung upon him hearing. Is the literal Greek. They hung upon him hearing. When people listen attentively, it's amazing what God will do. We just read about it this morning from Lydia. She attended to the words spoken by Paul. Attended to. The Greek word here. She turned her mind to the words. She devoted her whole mind to it. And God worked it in her heart. So we are not to listen passively as spectators, but we are to listen aggressively as participants. So when a sermon is being preached, the minister is not the only one working. The hearer is working as well. Working at listening. Now John Calvin said something that is absolutely too good to be true. But Calvin said this, that the hearer ought to be working just as hard as the minister on the pulpit. That's setting the bar very high. Very, very high. But you see what Calvin was getting at. It's the same word. The minister needs the word. The people need the word. We all have the same need. The minister just happens to be the one delivering it. And so we're all involved in this together. Good listening is hard work. It's a challenge. Good listening involves worshiping God moment by moment. That's not easy when we have minds that can flash in 1,000 different directions any second. But good listening involves constant repenting, learning, resolving, determining, praising, even as we listen. And good learning, good listening, always allows the mind to be stretched. See, too many people want to be spoon-fed. They just want to hear what they already know. Not good. Jesus said, we are to bring as ministers things old and new. Not just old, also new. Every sermon, we are to stretch our people. Stretch your vocabulary a little bit, not so much so you get frustrated. Stretch your understanding of different doctrines a little bit, not so much so you don't get frustrated. But stretching. So that one year from now, you should know the books of Genesis better than you know now, and know the book of Exodus better, Esther, than you know now, or whatever else we're preaching on. To grow and grow and grow. And we are to be optimistic about that as preachers and say, how are people really want to stretch? And it's a great task of a minister to know exactly how much to stretch you. If I preach to you like I teach in the seminary this morning, three quarters of you would be frustrated. You'd be upset with me right now. Rightly so. So I was trying to stretch you too much. But if I don't bring you anything new, you ought to be frustrated with me too. Say it's just the same old thing again. No, I'm to stretch you. Move you from the known to the unknown, so that the unknown becomes the known. Then next time I can move you a little bit more. Every sermon you should come to saying to yourself, I get to learn something today. That's part of the excitement of coming to God's house. It's the excitement of discovery. Learning more about God. Learning more about myself. When you love someone, you want to learn more about them. When we go to visit my mother, I think one of my wife's favorite questions, I don't know how many times she asked my mother this. What was Joe like? That's me. What was Joe like when he was young? And my mother's memory is going, you know, so she can't remember too much. My wife is always disappointed. But she wants to know more about me before she met me. That's love, isn't it? I want to know more about God if I'm a Christian. I want to grow. Teach me. See, we've got to come with an appetite to the Word of God. So ask yourself some questions and ask your children these questions after the sermon. What did you learn today, children? Help them work at listening. Help them to appreciate listening and to appreciate learning. And I know so well, everybody groans, we got to learn, oh, we got this assignment at school, we have this test. And I don't know how many hundreds of times I've said to my children, learning is an opportunity. Learning is exciting. Just think, you get to learn. You get to do a paper. You get to do an exam. Great! You get to stretch your brain that God has given you to His honor and glory. Wonderful! Now, they don't always respond in kind, of course. But the point is, you persevere. Don't ever fall into that trap that free time is good, learning at school, learning from church is bad, or something you have to do. What an abuse of the gift of learning. Learning is exciting. Learning is a gift of God. Try to teach your children that. Well, my time is up, so we're going to have to carry on from here. Sorry it's so short this morning. Let's pray. Great God of heaven, please teach us how to listen, how to learn, and let our examples penetrate the depths of our children's soul, that they too might be excited to listen, to learn, to read, to think, to assimilate into their minds and practice the great truths of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day further.